to Is Able, the radio show about possibility, where we look at what a person with disabilities can do rather than what they cannot do. I'm Dr. Steve Nurse, and I'm the speaker of the show, I guess you want to call him that. And I had a couple announcements to make before we get started into our full program today that I thought were kind of interesting. If you're interested in service dogs and dogs that provide services to people, you might look at a publication called the Latham Foundation, and they promote respect for all life through education. It's a great free publication, and it's at www.latham, which is LATHAM.org. And their purpose is to promote, foster, encourage, and further the principles of humanness, kindness, and benevolence to all living creatures. I also found this little bit of trivia for you. Found out that the drug Remdesivir, which is was the one that President Trump was using when he got COVID, was a drug that was invented or found to work in to cats that had infectious peritonitis, and it was caused by the feline coronavirus. So anyhow, I thought that was interesting that they had worked for that. My last thing is Maya, my service dog, completed her final certification and now is a full certified dog that has a degree in helping me. And she's a great dog and we've bonded very well. Today, we're going to talk about seizure alert dogs and seizure response dogs. And these are dogs that work with persons who have seizures. And we're also going to be interviewing Nick Krivokapic, who has a service dog named Rigby. He's going to answer some questions from us. But essentially, just to get you started, what these dogs do is they seem to have an innate ability to detect oncoming seizures. And we're not sure how they detect oncoming seizures. However, we believe that they do this by detecting a change in scent from chemical reactions in the body. And I had actually read an interesting story, actual case, about a person who had seizures, grand mal seizures. And this person, they sent one of his shirts that he was wearing when he had the seizure to a research lab. And they found that the other dogs that were trained for seizures, seizure response, were able to pick this up from the shirt. So I thought that was pretty fascinating. So the dogs are trained to alert their partner so that the partner can better prepare for the seizure. And also, if they're having a seizure, can assist them. I think this is really, really important because one of the things that we talk about, I use an electric wheelchair that gets me around. That's my electric wheelchair is my crutch. Bad pun there. But I think that it's important that we use technology, that we use service animals. And in this case, they really allow a person to have a greater, fuller life, I think. Allow us to go different places, allow us to feel safe when we go those places. And we also work with, these also work with some parents who have kids that have seizures. So with that, let me introduce Nick to you. And Nick, I met him the first time out at the women's prison. And I was doing a keynote for the Prison Pet Partnership Program. And Nick demonstrated using his dog Rigby to alert for seizures. So, Nick, why don't you tell me, first of all, just a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go on from there.
Dr. Nurse, thank you for having me on. Again, my name is Nick Krivokapich. I graduated from Washington State University and, worked in communications for quite some time. And then, unfortunately, back in, I think it was 2003, I got sick with something called encephalitis. And the encephalitis is a virus, unfortunately, a very, very bad virus that attacked my brain. And I'm really lucky to have survived the attack on my brain. It really changed everything in my life. I went from having pretty much what you would want, is you would say everything, a house and family, and was driving back and forth to work. I worked worked several different places. I worked at Cairo Radio, for example. It's one location that I worked. Worked in public relations at a couple of different places. The King County Council is one of those that I worked at. But what happened with this virus is, again, it attacked my brain, and it left me in a really terrible situation, something you would never expect. I came out of it. I was in a hospital, and all of a sudden, everything changed overnight. I had uncontrolled seizures that it stopped me from being able to work. Something as simple as people take you would expect it, being able to drive, for example. That's just something you everybody gets to do, I guess you'd say. I can't drive any longer. Problems with word finding. I have difficulty, and of course, problems with word finding is difficult for somebody with a communications degree. That's probably not very good.
Well, you know, and I don't want. I just want to interrupt here for just one second, too, Nick. In my situation, I had a condition called transverse myelitis, which attacked my spinal column.
Okay.
And the one thing that I wanted to say is, is exactly mirroring what you say is, when you have a disability like this, I mean, I literally went to sleep one night and woke up with this disability at 22 years old that affected me the rest of my life. And there's no way, and I think you would probably agree with me, you go from having everything to pretty much nothing and starting over with so many things. And there's no way to plan for it.
And you know what? I think that's the best way to put it. It really is. There's no way to plan for it. Nobody can. You just literally wake up one morning and that's it. It's a new life. Everything has changed. So it's dealing with that obviously is the first part, is trying to come to grips with that. And I think as you would know, and in your situation as well, that's very difficult. That's not something that you immediately again wake up with and just know that, okay, this is my new life and I'm ready to go. That's not really how things work. So
it's kind of you do a lot of the why me kind of stuff, I think, for a while.
Most definitely.
And of course, I could think of a lot of people that I would much rather have had my disability than me. But
I could probably do that as well.
Yeah, that's right. Why not him? Right.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I thought I was a good person. Why me?
Yeah.
So, most definitely.
Well, tell us a little bit about Rigby. And you had another service dog too, correct?
I did, as a matter of fact. Her name was ASAP, A-S-A-P. And I got her from a different organization than I did Rigby here. Rigby, who's laying right next to me, as a matter of fact, where he's supposed to be. My previous service dog, again, ASAP from a different organization, I had her for about 13 years. And, really added to my life and really had no idea what a service dog was all about. until I got ASAP and now Rigby.
And that's about the, I think, you know, about, well, my service dog is, my older service dog is about 12 and a half.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, you mentioned that ASAP was a little over 13, that's pretty much average life of service, or maybe even stretching it a little bit for most service dogs.
Yeah, most definitely, most definitely. Yeah, they're pretty amazing. They, as you know, I mean, I'm not sure where you got your service dog from.
Prison Pet Partnership.
You did, okay. You did as well. Okay. So I guess we're kind of related in some way, aren't
we? Right, right. I've had three service dogs from there, so.
Oh, you have? Oh, okay. Yes. Okay, great. So you know a lot about the program then.
It's a great program, that's
for sure. It really is. It really is. It's really gives back a lot. It gives a lot to the prisoners there, and it gives certainly a lot to the people that get the service dogs from the, better known, I guess, the PPP.
It really is a win-win for everybody. I mean,
it is.
You look at some of the inmates there that have burned every bridge they have under the sun, and now have this dog that looks up to them and is reliant on them, and yet they can train this dog and prepare the dog for someone else. So, did you train with Rigby at the prison or out in the public, or how did that work?
Well, a little bit of both, actually. First of all, you know, service dogs, first and foremost, I think people need to know that not any dog can be a service dog. Service dogs, dogs end up being about one out of every 15 to 20 dogs can actually end up being a service dog. So they're a very unique, I guess if you want to call it breed, you can say that, I guess, of dogs. And they go through quite a bit of training before they actually work with their actual handler, and they go through 1 to 2 years of training through the particular program, and then get to know their new handler, the disabled person, and they work with that person for a few months, and kind of get to know each other. And get to learn about each other a little bit, because you're going to be friends for a long time, and it really is a great program, and it's certainly great to have Rigby around. There's no doubt about that.
There's a real bond between you, I'm sure, and your dog, as well as me and mine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, most definitely, most definitely. Rigby and I are best friends. We are best friends. He brings so much to my life. Just anything you can think of. He's just at night when I'm just laying there watching a little TV. Well, when a commercial comes on, people don't want to listen to commercials. Turn that right off, and I talk to Rigby.
And we need to let people know that even though our dogs are probably more brilliant than us, they really don't talk back like Scooby-Doo, you know. Turn the TV back on. You know?
Although, you know what, I bet there are some that could.
Yes, I think that's probably true.
There's some intelligent dogs out there, no doubt.
You know, I've seen my remote control move at night. Maybe that's what's happening there. So
and that certainly could be.
So explain how Rigby works with you and if you have a seizure and how those things are going.
Right. Well, Rigby, first and foremost, you know, there are a difference between a service alert dog and a service response dog. And a service alert dog, obviously, is one that has a sense, and I think you had mentioned this, a sense that something is coming on for that person, and can really bring a lot to let that person know ahead of time that something is going on. And then a service response dog, obviously, is a dog that... maybe while you're having that seizure or after the seizure, can assist you. And so ASAP, or Rigby rather, is, I still say ASAP because there was that bond, that closeness. Rigby is more of a service response dog. He may in some way have some ability to alert, but hasn't shown me that he can do that. So he's more my service response dog for seizures.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and what he does for me is he first of all he brings a feeling of comfort when you have seizures. Seizures can happen at any time, anywhere, and he just brings this sense of comfort that I realize a seizure can happen, but I've got Rigby with me. I know he's going to be there.
Certain amount of security, for sure.
No doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. So he can do he can do any number of things. He was trained to first and foremost when I'm having a seizure, he's trained to be there with me and lay beside me. Hopefully not lay on top of me. He's a big dog. I don't want him laying on top of me.
He's a black lab, as I remember.
He's a black lab. Rigby is a black lab, and he's a big boy. He's a big boy. So certainly don't want him laying on top of me. But some seizure response dogs do. He, I think, was trained more to lay next to me to make sure that I don't hurt myself during a seizure. And then after a seizure, when I come out of it, typically I'm out of it. So while I'm having a seizure, he can certainly bark to let others know around me that something is going on here, something is wrong, and that's very important. And of course, you want somebody to be there when you come out of a seizure, and so he brings that as well. He barks to let people know that hey, something's going on here, something's wrong, and we're going to need some help here. The person's able to come along and help when you come out of it. Like I said, you really don't know what's going on. It's they're very difficult to explain. But
Nick, do you have when you have a seizure, do you have an aura or something that you know that that's going to come on? Or
I typically I have an aura. Which seizures? There are two types of seizures. There are auras and grand mals, and I have both. I have both that I deal with. And an aura is something where it's a seizure, but you're alert. You know what's going on around you. You know that something's different, something's wrong, but it's something's wrong. Something's not right.
Uh-huh.
And that can either itself lead to a grand mal. Or can just a small aura here, maybe a small aura a little bit later. Maybe that's all. Maybe that's all you have for a couple of days, and then you have a grand mal, or any number of things. But certainly, auras and grand mals, two different things, but they are both seizures. And with auras, you stay alert. You know what's going on around you, at least.
And when you have a seizure, is there a procedure, or do you then are you able to call someone afterwards, or how does that work? Are you usually alone, or are there people around you?
Well, you know what? I've been very lucky that there have been people around me. I'm with friends, or I'm with my dad. I live here at home with my dad. Unfortunately, I'm in a situation where I can't live alone. Even while having a service dog, I can't live alone. I would need people to come and
right.
check down on me and so on and so forth. I'm lucky enough to have somebody near me or with me. So I haven't been in a situation where I've come out of it and nobody has been able to be there or I'm just alone. That hasn't happened. I've been lucky enough to be not being in that kind of a situation.
You know, even for me, that's a situation where I, carry my cell phone around with me all the time because essentially if I fell out of my wheelchair or, mm-hmm. you know, something like that, I'd be stuck and have been there and done that. And it's not much fun. Or, you know, people don't realize, you know, if I get into bed at night, if there's a fire in the house, I can't just get up and, head out the door. So
That's right.
You know.
Yeah.
Do you think, you kind of mentioned this, and I think this is true too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about dogs, in this case, you know, responding to the seizure. But do you think that the dogs actually can know emotions of people? They can understand your temperament, understand your emotions.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I think that some dogs can, and I don't think that just has to be a service dog. I think that there are dogs in general that just learn to be around their owners and learn how their owners are and their emotions and so on and so forth. But I think there are certainly service dogs that get to know, like I was saying, their owners, and they get to kind of get a sense of your emotions. I have mood swings, that sort of thing that tend to lead to or show that a seizure could be coming on. So I have, like I said, I have mood swings, other things. Maybe I get very depressed, so on and so forth. And Rigby is there for me. I'm not sure that he can sense that change in emotions, but what I can say is that he's always there for me. So, like I said, something as silly as, hey, turn the commercial off and I talk to Rigby. Well, guess what? Rigby's there for me. And I can talk to Rigby about just about anything that I want to. He's a good psychologist.
You know, and very, very seldom do dogs talk back to you.
That's right.
I guess the indication would be if they, you know, bit you in the leg, that might be an indication of dissatisfaction.
Exactly.
Can you think of a time when, a specific time when he's really helped you out, or you've been in kind of a tougher situation and something you could relate?
Well, to tell you the truth, I've been very lucky, like I said, and have not been in those types of situations yet, which is great. I'm glad I have not been. But there have been certainly instances where I've had auras that could be leading on to Grand Mal's, and I don't know. But he's been there with me, sitting there, and I'm upstairs, and my dad's downstairs, and he barks to let my dad know, and my dad, you know, instantly says, calls up, Nick, is there something wrong up there? Is there something going on? And then I can let my dad know, yes, hey, Dad, I just had a couple of auras, and I'm feeling okay. Maybe I go down and just hang out with my dad there for a while. But I also, you know, I have that sense that Rigby's with me, so I don't have a real sense of nervousness. But yeah, he's been there for me when I've had auras and everything. I've just have not had a sense where I've been in serious trouble that he has had to be right there for me. So I've been very lucky as far as that's concerned.
And I noticed that one of my questions on here that I had listed was you know, the issue of security, and we've already kind of gone over that, but I think that it's one more way to kind of cover your bases a little bit with a service dog. And, I think that just having that security is, just really important, as well as you say, you know, I think many people with disabilities, and I'm not trying to be stereotypical, but, you know, even myself, you know, I tend to get down more in the fall when it's dark at 4 o'clock, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I think just having the dog around makes a big difference.
There's no doubt about that.
Can you think of anything else that you'd like to say at this point?
You probably know that they go through certifications and everything, so you have a certification that you get when you originally get the dog. They have to go through that whole process, which I think I talked about 1 to 2 years of training, And so they get that, and then a yearly training or a yearly recertification, I should say, I guess.
Right.
Is something that you have to go through.
And that's important. I know my dog, Maya, has to do that too. I think we should also say, and I think maybe you would agree with me on this, too, is that, you know, a dog is a big responsibility. It's not for everybody. And it's not the panacea. It doesn't take your disability away.
That's right.
But it makes you a lot more comfortable with it, I think.
There's no doubt about that. And you're right. A dog is not necessarily for everybody. But I can tell you that you may not be a dog person, but I tell you, in a sense where, or in a situation where you have a disability or have become disabled, in my situation, I believe in yours as well, where you become disabled, it was a different life, I guess, beforehand. That's when maybe you kind of turns around a little bit and says, you know, dogs are not that bad. They can do a lot for people. They bring a lot to people.
Yeah, so. I think you know what I have to really worry about is with my wife when she's using the same commands on me. You know, I see a really cool thing in Lowe's and that I want to buy in the hardware store,
right,
and she
right.
says, "Leave it," you know. So
exactly, and it's just boy, there's just any number of commands that they know too. And I tell you, he learned more commands than I actually have in my vocabulary. There's no doubt about that.
And I've even, you know, you work with these, and they also know your movements.
They do.
You know, hand movements, those kinds of things.
As a matter of fact, it's interesting that you bring that up, because with Rigby in training, I wasn't really taught with him to use hand movements or anything like that. I was just taught to use commands, and then he does those particular things. But it just kind of over time, he and I have gotten close enough where I've just kind of, I guess, just kind of over time started using hand signals at the same time of yeah. saying something.
Almost,
you know?
Almost subconsciously, I kind of do
exactly.
that, and I haven't taught Maya how to get me a beer yet. I want to set it on the Roomba and take the remote control. So I think we're just about out of time here.
Okay.
And Nick, I really appreciate it. Hope we can meet again out at the Prison Pet Partnership Program, and we can get our dogs together.
I would love that.
Okay.
Would love that. And Dr. Norse, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
It was great. And we'll talk to you later. And thank you, people, for listening.
Okay.
And that's the end of Is Able Today.
To stream this or any other episode of Is Abled with Dr. Stephen W. Nurse, go to voiceofashon.org and look under the Shows tab.